don't need sunscreen. We need body paint. We need zombie takeout. We need Ready Whip. Welcome to episode 133 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got a bit of listener submitted. These first two are emails that we actually got before last week's episode, but I forgot to check the mail before we did the show, so we'll get to them now. The first one's from Andrew Lane. He says, Dear Scotto and Mon Uncle, I'm guessing that's French for my uncle, Thank you so much for reviewing Slapshot. I was sorry that you struggled a bit with the movie. It was interesting to hear your take on the film nonetheless. Others have defended the movie better than I could. However, I do have to say that I think the acting in the movie is pitch perfect. But I think that may be generational. I suspect I'm pushing twice your age. Anyway, I've always enjoyed your show, and so thanks for all your hard work. You always make me chuckle. Andrew, UK. Twice our age? That would be very impressive.
It's really funny. Of all the things of that email, that's like what I'm locked on. Oh, how flattering.
That would be impressive. Maybe we're a bit younger than you think. I'm 40, you're 39.
Yeah.
So, if you are, that's great. As far as Slapshot, I think we pretty much said everything last week and the week before. Yeah.
I think maybe he might be going about the presentational style versus...
Yeah, that's possibly it, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was fairly presentational, now that you mention it.
Yeah. Not really accustomed to Newman doing that, tell you the truth.
True.
Yeah, that's kind of what I liked about him, is that he was more, naturalistic actor.
Yeah.
But in that one, he was doing the whole, see, she's got gumption. Moxie,
yeah.
See?
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
It did resort to that a few times.
Yeah, it did.
Next email comes from Matt Goranson. He said, I have officially listened to every episode of Zombie Takeout as of this week. It has been a very enjoyable ride. Thank you, guys. Every one of them?
Oh, man. I was expecting, some hatred. Okay. I was like, oh, wait. That's a compliment? So, wow.
We normally don't recommend the first two or three.
Yeah, never listened to the first episode. That's kind of been our running gag for years now.
And it's not just a gag, we mean it.
Well, it's different from the first episode of the Tuesday afternoon show.
Oh, yes, it's a bit better than that, yes.
That was unlistenable.
Yes.
The British guy reading the Spice Girls lyrics.
Was that in the first one?
Yes, that was. Okay. Boy, was that uncomfortable. There's some moments you don't forget.
And he goes on to say, what better way to celebrate than suggest a few movies? He recommends Barbarella, Death Race 2000, Starship Troopers, and The Independent. The Independent sounds very interesting. He says it's basically Lloyd Kaufman the movie. He also points out that Barbarella, Starship Troopers, and The Independent are currently streaming on Netflix. Death Race 2000 was until just recently, but it might come back. If that helps. I have managed to track down Death Race, so we'll be getting to all of these some point in the near future.
They are definitely movies that are in our wheelhouse that some of them we should have done already, but, come on. Right. There's only so many movies we can do.
I've been noticing Barbarella on Netflix. I've never seen it. It's something I should see as a sci-fi geek, so.
I've seen parts of it and stuff, I'll have to...
It's kind of a seminal movie, and... As a child of the 80s, it is also the source of the name Duran Duran. So
I
really should see it. So that one I know we'll be getting to somewhat soon.
Yeah.
Okay, John Phillips posted on Facebook, in reference to last week's episode, the time travel in POTA. In the first, I wouldn't call time travel because it wasn't intentional. In the third film, it was intentional as the apes went back, though I could be wrong. Now, I also was not calling the first one time travel because it was more of a faster-than-light thing. Yes, they aged slower than the Earth, but it wasn't exactly time travel.
Yeah.
And I've never seen the third one, so can't comment on that. Also, William posted on our site, also in reference to last week, also in reference to the time travel in Planet of the Apes. He said, regarding the Planet of the Apes franchise, the first three all involve time travel. The first two having people who ended up in the distant future, and the third having apes ending up in the present-day America. As far as the recent reboot is concerned, it was in fact a reimagining of the fourth film of the original series, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, which is something I've been meaning to point out since listening to your double feature on the series, but it had never felt appropriate before now, as I listened to it, far after the fact. But that film tells the story of how apes began to displace humanity, and is clearly a closer corollary than the original film.
Obviously, I hadn't seen, I think, three or four, because I would have definitely remembered stuff like that happening. You know, apes going back to
I thought it didn't quite match the first movie, but I've never seen Conquest, so I had nothing else to base that on.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it before. Yeah.
He finishes up by saying, by the way, I highly recommend it for a future episode. Thank you, William, and John, and Matt, and Andrew. Okay, so no news this week, so we're just going to jump straight into this week's movie. And it is from 2010, Piranha 3D. Of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary. Sponsored by gore, nudity, and B-list celebrity cameos. Nothing makes up for a bad script, bad acting, bad special effects.
Bad cinematography, bad art direction, bad production, bad post-production, bad set design, bad set decoration, bad costume design, bad makeup department, bad production management, bad second unit director or bad assistant director, bad art department, bad sound department, bad visual effects, bad stunts, bad camera and bad electrical department, bad casting department, bad costume and bad wardrobe department, bad editorial department, bad music department, bad transportation, bad grip, bad best boy, and bad craft services.
Like copious amounts of gore, nudity, and B-list celebrity cameos. Try them in your next movie.
I guess it's my turn now, huh? All right. All right, so this is really an impromptu plot summary. Because, well, let's see. We have the usual kids on spring break around the lake. There really isn't much to describe in this plot, is there? I think that's the problem here, isn't it? We have the girls.
Actually, I think the first scene is kind of the best jumping off point.
We have the young kid.
Dreyfus, this scene.
Right. But we have an old fisherman on the lake first, and he drops his beer, causing a seismic reaction, opening up a primordial lake into this modern lake, and it unleashes, of course, the whole horde of piranha.
That just gets that part out of the way for the.
You want me to just say hilarity ensues?
Yeah, because the rest really, you have, you know.
Okay, there is some plot here, though. We have the kid who is the son of the sheriff, and he is supposed to be in charge of his younger siblings. He bribes them to stay at home because he has an opportunity to work as a set scout for a Girls on Wild, Gone Wild thing around the lake for spring break. And I think one of the funnier lines towards the end, or the most absurd line in the whole film, is when the mother... when, of course, the whole plan is shot to hell because of the piranha, the mother asks, "What were you thinking?" To which I'm like, a 17-year-old kid,
yeah,
and strippers. Mm-hmm. What was she thinking? What kind of sheriff is this?
Yeah. Having a 17-year-old mind his younger siblings during spring break. Not going to happen.
Well, when she catches him on the boat.
Well, that too. But I'm saying the plan in general wasn't really going to work out.
She sees the two strippers there, turns to him and says, "What were you thinking?"
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yeah.
But, right. So, yeah, hilarity ensues.
Yeah, pretty much. You have a bunch of kids on spring break, a Girls Gone Wild crew, a bunch of prehistoric piranha. You do the math.
Yeah. Subtraction.
Yeah.
Lots of subtraction.
Yep. Now, I'm just going to say right off the top, with the exception of one scene, I am not going to nitpick the science. It really doesn't matter in this one.
Yeah, you know, how the hell should I know if Piranha would survive, you know, mixing the different types of water and all that?
I could go on a rant, but I won't. I'll also leave it for my what have I learned?
Okay.
But I will say I wanted to mention the Dreyfus cameo because I loved that.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, he basically
Absolutely beautiful.
plays. In fact, it's he said it. He plays a parody in a near reincarnation of Matt Hooper, his character from Jaws,
Yeah.
including he actually sings "Show Me the Way to Go Home."
Yes. Yes, I caught that. I'm a huge Jaws fan. It is one of the first movies I've ever seen. So, yeah.
That was great. Though it did make it look like the beer bottle caused the quake, I don't think
Yes, it
it can
does.
do that.
It did, in fact, look like the beer bottle caused the quake, that he dropped it down,
He
it
catches a
landed.
fish. He has a beer in his hand. He catches a fish, drops the beer, trying to reel the fish in. It tracks the beer going down to the ocean or the lake floor, and then the quake starts exactly when the beer hits.
Right.
I don't think a beer can start, set off a quake, but again, not going to nitpick too much. And then, of course, you have him being pulled down in by the piranha.
And some of the most hideous
Yes, thank you.
CGI
Thank you.
I think I've ever seen. Not
Absolutely.
hideous as in macabre, but just hideous as in, did Stevie Wonder put this together?
Kind of reminded me of the scene in The Howling when they went to animation. Except they intentionally went to animation for that scene. This was supposed to look real.
Yeah.
It literally was cartoonish.
Oh, very much so. I wonder how different this would be if we were watching it in 3D, like with the glasses and stuff,
That's a
because.
good point, because it was very red, so maybe that was a bit of coloration that they intended to work in 3D that they couldn't pull out for the 2D version.
Right.
That's a good possibility. Because they did that again later in the movie when the two Girls Gone Wild girls, or Wild Wild girls, get killed. They kind of go to the same red effect, and maybe it does play better in 3D.
Yeah, I don't know. It might not tell you the truth. It was pretty fucking bad CGI. I mean, jaw-droppingly, like, wait, the Weinsteins did this?
Well, you could say that about a lot of this movie. Although there was a bit of what I like to think was foreshadowing.
What's that?
When they pull him over the boat and you get a nice long shot of the outboard motor.
Oh,
Because the outboard motor comes back later.
yeah.
Not that outboard motor, but another one, because they're on a lake surrounded by boats.
Right.
It is used by Ving Rhames as a weapon. I have never seen an improvised weapon that was more badass.
Right.
Then again, it's Ving Rhames. I think he pretty much could make anything look badass. He could kill somebody with a Q-tip and it would look badass.
Marcellus Wallace we're talking about there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think the movie has kind of, well, one major flaw. It takes itself a bit too seriously.
You think so?
Yeah. Now, I should say I saw 3DD first, the sequel. And that does not take itself seriously whatsoever. That knows exactly what it's going for. It's practically a horror comedy. It is a horror comedy.
Yeah.
But it just amps everything up and goes completely over the top intentionally. So there were moments that were supposed to be tense in this one
Were
that
there?
I don't think it quite played. Well, I mean, when, they're killing the piranha with the shotguns, and at one point they're trying to get off of the Girls Gone Wild boat onto a police boat, and there's a rope between the two of them, and it's this tense moment: are they going to get across? And there were
That
just
one.
a few of those two kind of two tense moments where they could have just gone overboard with the gleeful gore, and
I wouldn't say that this movie took itself that seriously, though.
well, it didn't take itself excessively seriously, maybe just a bit more seriously than it should have.
And I actually found that scene, you know, that was actually Now that you brought it up, that was a scene that did have some dramatic tension to it, where they're on the rope. I thought you were talking about the shotgun
Well,
scene.
killing Piranha with a shotgun is just kind of silly.
That was the most ridiculous thing I've seen in a while.
But it leads to him giving up and grabbing the outboard motor, which is awesome. But also, since we're on that scene.
Well, Eli Roth taking the motorboat and mowing down a bunch of people with it to try to escape.
Well, I have a couple other points on that scene. We're going very out of order here. Basically, it's the Piranha attack the big party area on the lake, where they've got this platform with a bunch of Marshall stacks and a DJ and all the kids dancing on the boats and on the platform. The Piranha attack. Out and out mayhem. It's basically a zombie movie at that point.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It pretty much turns into a zombie movie. Which was fun, because it's a ton of gore. You find out something about Ving Rhames that I was wondering about in the next movie, because he loses his legs. And I was wondering how that happened. But it also leads to the one bit of science that I am going to nitpick, aside from the beer bottle starting the quake, which I didn't really play with, but you know where I'm going. She fires a taser. Is it a taser or a stun gun? The one with the that connects.
I think it was a taser.
It's a taser? Okay, and I'm never sure which is which. She fires a taser at the piranha in the water. Have we never heard of conductivity? Do we not know that water is a great conductor of electricity?
I thought that's how they were going to get rid of them, actually. I thought that, like, some of the sound system was just going to fall into the lake
But
and it
there
was
were
just going
still
to.
lots of people who were quite savable in the water at that point.
I thought everyone was gonna go.
Would have been better. I would have enjoyed that more. Because it would have been clever, and I wouldn't have had to nitpick it, and it would have gotten rid of a lot of bad acting. Because frankly, the names, the celebrity cameos, and the two kids, the one dude's younger siblings, are the only decent actors in this movie.
Steve McQueen's grandson looks a lot more like Jim Carrey than Steve McQueen, doesn't he?
Who is McQueen's grandson?
That was Jake, the
Oh,
high school kid.
okay. I didn't know he was McQueen's grandson.
His name is actually Stephen R. McQueen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he does look a lot like Jim Carrey.
Yes.
And I think his grandfather was a better actor, which really isn't saying much.
I don't know. I enjoy Steve McQueen movies, actually. Out of the old school
Well,
guys,
they're good action movies. It's like Clint Eastwood. They're good action movies, but his acting,
it's been a while since I've seen Great Escape, but I always remember liking it a lot.
They're good movies. I'm just saying he wasn't a great actor. Anyway.
Anytime I'm stuck in a place where I don't want to be, I always like wish I had a handball to just kind of bounce off the walls for like the entire time I'm there.
But getting back to the taking itself too seriously, like I said, the cast, aside from most of the cameos and the kids, really wasn't good. And the movie is basically a cross between a horror film and a Girls Gone Wild video.
Yeah. It kind of parodies the Girls Gone Wild video too, though.
It parodies Joe Francis, definitely.
Yeah.
In fact, Joe Francis was very angry about this movie because it basically suggests that he, is associated with drugs and filming underage girls. Basically claiming that O'Connell's character was him. And in response, O'Connell said, "I get to play Joe Francis. Oh wait, for legal reasons, I'm supposed to say I play someone loosely based on Joe Francis."
I feel bad for Jerry O'Connell because, I mean, he's so likable and everything, yet he gets stuck doing such shit.
Oh yeah, his career never quite rebounded from staying with Sliders for a bit too long, and then Scream. He kind of ended up going down a bit of a spiral there.
He was cool in Crossing Jordan, although that kind of played out a little quickly too, but it was good
But
seeing him.
I've always liked his work, and he's very much against type in this one. He usually plays the nice guy. He's playing Joe Francis effectively in this.
Oh yeah, he's definitely playing Joe Francis. Someone doth protest a bit too much, don't you think?
Wild, Wild Girls. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is the movie is basically a cross between a horror film and a Girls Gone Wild video. And it should just be that. Don't try to be dramatic. Don't try to be suspenseful.
But
It doesn't need to be.
It didn't suddenly pretend to, you know, try to deliver a morality message at the end, although...
It was all morality message.
Although, you know, you had to, you know, make sure the stripper doesn't live.
Well, the strippers died. Copious amounts of the kids partying died. I don't think you saw... I don't think any of the women who got naked lived.
Right.
It was a giant morality tale, as is just about every horror film. So I'm not going to... Can't dock it too much for that. By the way, what happened to the cameraman? Because we saw the girls die.
Oh, yeah,
you
saw
Joe Francis, or whatever his name in the movie was. We saw him die. The cameraman just kind of disappeared.
And I think the biggest flaw in the plot itself was that when the one, the topless parasailer, when she... got her legs bitten off, which I think, I don't know if that was supposed to be funny or what, you know, like, oh, she's missing her legs. That they were aware something was going wrong there.
Yeah.
And that there was danger. Yet they still don't
pull
seem
her
to
in.
Act. Well, after that, you don't see any of those people.
No.
Because like, it goes from there to them being stuck on the rocks, and or actually after that they were debating on whether to go save
the kids.
Kids.
The kids, yeah.
Right.
And then the power sellers didn't really matter because it really was just tits and mutilated body, and that's all you needed to see.
Right. But you would think at that point they knew there was something wrong in the water, and that there was danger about, because. Well, and you never saw that you know, that model again. Her legs were gone.
Oh, yeah.
What did they do with her?
Well, she died, I'm assuming. Half of her was eaten.
Right. Well, actually, just her legs were gone, really.
Well, I thought it was up to her waist.
No, I thought just her legs, but anyway.
Either way, blood loss. So
right.
You can assume she died very soon.
True. So, what are they doing?
Yeah, because he was filming them. He had stopped filming them by that
right.
point, though.
They were filming her.
He noticed the kids. He'd stopped filming by that point, I think.
Right. But then
they
he
weren't
took
aware.
The camera back, and he filmed the rest of it.
He filmed it? Okay.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, that's
Joe
a massive
Francis
problem.
Joe took the camera back and was filming it, and then it was just kind of like, oh, her legs are gone. Ba-da-bum.
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, now we got to go get the kids. But he's like, what do you mean? We still have to do all of this stuff here. We need to be at this other point for a shoot. It's like, dude, there's people losing their limbs in the fucking water. That, you know, never came about, you know?
And that speaks to my issue is of it taking itself too seriously. If it had the tone that it should, you would never even blink an eye at that transition. You know, if it was just mindless and fun, you wouldn't even think about that. But because it had some... Well, you might think of it, but you're not going to hold it against the movie.
Come on, we've been doing this... What's this, our 133rd episode? Come on, John.
Well, we both would have noticed it, but neither... I don't think either of us would have held it against the movie. If the tone was right. If it didn't have those dramatic moments.
If it kind of gave you a wink or something that they know this and they're just going to ignore this.
Yeah.
Instead, it looked like there was just a scene missing, or there was some sort of bad edit, or there was just a lack of continuity in the script.
Right,
which is
right.
What it looks like more than anything
that
else.
That was the issue, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Now, I'm complaining a lot about this movie, but there were some good things.
Of course.
I liked that the piranha didn't attack every time somebody got in the water.
Yeah.
Could have easily done that. But there was the initial attack. And then there was one guy shortly thereafter who was kind of cliff diving. And then it waited for a while. You know, if they didn't go for that too often. And, of course, the best part of the movie, I'm sure you'll agree with me on this, Christopher Lloyd.
Oh. I thought you were going to say lesbian water ballet. Yes, Christopher Lloyd.
By the way, the green screen on that was horrible. Not on Christopher Lloyd, on the lesbian water balloon. I'm a little jaded about these things.
I didn't notice. That was weird. I bet the 3D glasses again.
Yeah, probably.
For that scene alone may have been worth it, actually.
Incidentally, this had to be the most gratuitous movie you've done so far.
You think so?
Even counting Troma, I think it had to be.
Even counting Zardoz?
Oh, I forgot about Zardoz. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, the great Christopher Lloyd. Definitely the best part of the movie.
Definitely.
Playing a fish paleontologist, basically.
Right.
That's some kind of fish expert. Just basically being Doc Brown.
You know what? I was just going to say that. He's Doc Brown without the hair. There's something with those fish.
And I've seen him in other roles since then. I've seen him in a number of roles.
Of course.
He's a brilliant actor. But he was Doc Brown in this, completely.
My God, have you seen him on Fringe?
I missed that. Did it?
Oh.
Yeah, I know I didn't miss that one, because the LSD one is the only one I haven't seen.
That is the
I have to rewatch that one.
Probably the best Christopher Lloyd performance you can ever find, because, I mean, yeah, he's kind of a mental patient.
I vaguely remember. I have to rewatch that one.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, I mean, it's if he had the hair, it would be Doc Brown.
Right. And I think that was intentional, you know. He
of
was
course.
There to play Doc Brown.
Yeah. And he returns in 3DD for the same role.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. We should talk about the one scene that we really didn't need to see. To balance off all of the lesbian water ballet and all of that. Joe Francis, of course, gets beaten by a piranha because all of the, you know, sinners have to.
But of course, to justify, I mean, to really justify the punishment with his sin, he loses the one thing he can't live without.
Uh-huh. And says, "Jake, they eat my penis." Kind of a funny line.
Yeah. Almost used it for our intro.
Yeah. And then they cut down to the ocean, or the lake floor, I keep saying ocean, down to the lake floor, and guess what you see? The piranhas. Actually eating the penis.
Yeah. No, we didn't need to see that. You're right.
No.
It's the same reason why we're never going to do the movie Make Them Die Slowly, by the way.
No. Once is enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Never. Ever, ever doing that movie. I'm never seeing that again. You can't make me.
You're almost tempting me, because I'm not that averse to it.
It is the one movie I'll refuse to do. There's so many places I'll go. So many dark and twisted places.
No, I can't push it, because if I insist on that, you'll insist on Eight-Legged Freaks, so.
What's it called when you have a phobia of getting your dick eaten?
I don't know if it has a name, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
Normal.
Anyway, I'm pretty much done with my notes.
Let's see. You know what? I haven't even been doing that much of my notes. Let's see. I love the use of kids in harm's way. Not something you see in a horror movie, because they usually don't have kids in a horror movie. The fish rushing through the water from the fish perspective. Did that look familiar to you?
Or Sam Raimi.
Exactly. It was pretty much the same effect from the first Evil Dead movie, only they put a blue filter over it. And it's going through the, you know, the plant, you know, from the floor of the lake, the plants on there instead of the woods.
I liked the nice obvious red shirts. When the science team comes in to study the piranha, or to find out what's happening at the lake. Actually, they were there to study the quake.
Right.
And you have these two divers who have, like, two lines, and then you have the leading man, head scientist. And you know the two divers are red shirts. You know when they're going to die. It's just nice and tidy.
Yeah. You can't go down into the tunnel and not come.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. Dying to get wet was a nice touch. How on earth could you shoot the fish without hitting the kids?
We've talked about the shot, especially with a shotgun. You know, if it was a handgun, maybe. A shotgun?
Guess this brings new meaning to the phrase cock meat. Let's see. Yeah, I think I got everything. Oh, the first twist ever in a horror movie for the victim to still be alive. Usually in the horror movie, they kill the bad guy, or they think they have. He's lying dormant, and he comes back. Uh-huh. In this movie, it was a victim who they thought was dead.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're going to use his body, mm-hmm. and then he's alive. Interesting twist.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess, let's see. But you know what was absurd, where really it came off the wheels more than any other part of this movie? Uh-huh. Was the rescuing of the of what's her name, of the girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Now, you didn't like the cable part. I thought the absurdity was when she was in the cabin and they somehow could not get her out, even though there were windows all around the cabin that they could have just broken
or taken a screwdriver to the skylight and removed the part that wouldn't open and yes. The crossbars.
Yes, it was ridiculous. And then then he swims in with her to get her, and he comes up with this whole convoluted plan, this whole Wile E. Coyote thing that takes him forever to set up underwater, which the fish, of course, left him alone for.
Mm-hmm. Because they were munching on Joe Francis.
Right. Which apparently, I guess that was enough to tide them over for a long time, because he got to put together his plan and then explain it, and then they got to swim away. In that time, they could have just, I don't know, swam away.
With a ticking clock that went about twice as long as it should have.
Right.
Because of very predictable engine problems with the boat that was going to be pulling them away from the Girls Gone Wild boat.
The nice bad taste moment of the car being in neutral.
Yes, exactly.
That's the only movie I think of when I see the whole can't start the car bit.
Mm-hmm.
That he, you know, Jackson actually got to make fun of that. But, oh, it's a neutral.
Yeah. All right, so on to sequels and remakes. Of course, this is a remake of the 1978 version, from Piranha.
Let's get this straight. This is the second remake, because there was one in the mid-90s, too.
There was, okay.
Yeah. Of a knockoff of the movie Jaws.
Basically.
Wow.
That one also had a sequel. In the 70s, I know it had a sequel. Or 80s, perhaps it was. Piranha.
Yeah, it was late 70s, so then into the 80s.
Piranha Part 2, The Spawning.
Yeah.
Incidentally, Joe Dante directed that, but directed the first one. James Cameron directed Part 2, The Spawning.
And I think we even talked about Jonathan Sayles.
John Sayles wrote the original, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, making money off that to fund mm-hmm. some of his other work.
His better work.
Yes. I think we said all of this like 100 or something episodes ago.
Further from Another Planet, yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was a sequel, which we will be reviewing next week, Piranha right. 3 Double D, we'll which is that. Far, far better. It has all the right. Hoff. But yeah, we're on sure. that next week.
Right.
So, to Brains.
On to Brains.
I saw Piranha 3 Double D first, which kind of killed a lot of it for me, and yeah. really, I think it took itself too seriously. It tried to be tense and dramatic when it should have just been gory and gratuitous and fun. But I did, on the whole, enjoy it still, so I'm going to go 3.5.
I'm in perfect agreement. 3.5? I think it wasn't that it took itself too seriously, because, I mean, come on, you have the whole stripper with their legs getting bitten off a bit.
There wasn't enough of that.
Well, I thought that's where it kind of fell flat. When it tried to do things like that, it was kind of like a, see, that's funny. And it was just, it really wasn't all that funny. But there were other parts of it where, you know, where they were doing the nods to Jaws and the other films that were absolutely brilliant. And, yeah, I think if it wasn't for the special effects and some of the things I mentioned earlier, this would have been more. So yeah, I'm going 3.5 as well.
All right, so what have we learned?
Be more careful with your beer, for fuck's sake.
Yes, and I learned that a large group of prehistoric piranha can survive by eating each other. That was the theory on how they survived, that they ate each other.
That's right. Yeah.
Because that was the big hole into that was my one science rant was okay, they can theoretically survive down there after that part of the lake gets sealed off.
Can they really, though? I mean,
Okay, if there's enough room and maybe there are enough small fissures to let oxygen down, fine. But eventually they're going to run out of food.
if there were fissures to let oxygen in, they would be able to escape.
Well, maybe they weren't quite big enough for the fish to get out. I'm being very, very
Right.
generous here.
Like, eventually the fish would be able to get through. They're supposed to be there for thousands of years, right?
And the thing is, okay, let's just be very, very, very generous and say there were fissures that let oxygen down and let krill and plankton down that the fish still couldn't get out of.
Okay.
They would have adapted to eat much smaller things and not go after meat.
Right.
So, yeah. But no, they. But instead of course, this completely removes the movie. So they had to explain it by they remained carnivores and completely unevolved for thousands and thousands of years by fighting each other and basically eating each other. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So until next week, when we will be, as I said, reviewing Piranha 3 Double D. Go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself. You'll also find some YouTube clips. I like to put up some clips of scenes that we've specifically talked about, if I can find them. You'll also find links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. It will help us get more listeners. You can also send us an email, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTL1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. I did that from memory, so if it was wrong, I apologize.
That you're going to call somebody else.
Right, so until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
You can always hear singing this song. Show me the way to go home.
Let's just give it a straight run through then.
Okay.
Sponsored by gore, nudity, and B-list celebrity cameos. Nothing makes up for a bad script like bet. Nothing makes. Take two. Sponsored by gore, nudity, and B-list celebrity cameos. Nothing makes up for a bad script, bad acting, bad special effects.
Bad cinematography, bad art direction, bad production, bad post-production, bad set design, bad costume design, bad makeup department, bad production management, bad second unit assistant director or bad assistant director, bad art department, bad sound department, bad visual effects, bad stunts, bad camera and electrical department, bad casting department, bad costume and wardrobe department. Bad editorial department, bad musical department, bad best grip, bad best boy, and bad craft services.
Like copious amounts of gore, nudity, and beagle celebrity cameos. Try them in your next movie. That was extremely long, but I think that just makes it funnier.
Exactly.